PGA to the Champions Tour, LPGA, college, high school, and the crazy world of the Hack Nation. And here's your head of the Hack Nation and your host, Mike Rickard.
Sports Connection Radio Network. We're streaming live on RadioSaintPete.com, archiving on Hoovy.tv, and we're also streaming on AM Can Talk, AM1340.com. On this 150th British Open weekend, July 16th, 2022, I'm Mike Rickard, the head of the Hack Nation, sitting across from the cool caddy, Oscar Garner III, the big O. He's Tampa Bay's celebrity caddy, and we're gonna make a name for this young man. But you're not so cool today. At least you're dressed appropriately, and you got your Spartan gear on, my man. Proudly wearing your Spartan gear.
Yes, sir. Got to adjust to this heat down here, man. I'm still catching up.
Come on, man. All right. And we have a very hot show. It's British Open, of course. It's taking place right now on NBC. If you just woke up and you forgot, coverage has been on the air. Trust me, I know. Since about 6 a.m. today, I am sapped. But it's an annual tradition for me, each and every year. And Barry Smith, a good friend of mine, he's just talked to him. He's going to be on the next show. Same thing, John Rieger. We get up like idiots at 3 a.m. because of the time difference on Thursday and Friday to watch them tee off over in St. Andrews on the old course because it's so engaging and it's so historic.
That's the commitment and the dedication to the game. Only those who truly love will wake up at the butt crack of not even dawn, right? 3 a.m. to watch golf.
Oh, man. In my sleep patterns, I'm shot. But anyway,
I know it's a mess right now.
It's well worth it. We're bringing you the world of golf each and every week here on the Tee Florida. And PGA champions, LPGA, collegiate and high schools in the Sunshine State. Of course, it is the mecca of golf. And we are going places with this show. We'll talk about that next week. Right now, as I said, we're just a driver across from Tropicana Field here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. It's our 19th hole studios. And we're blessed to be here each and every week. Right on 13th Street. Stop by and say hi to us. We might even throw you a bottle of body armor.
Come down and pregame some body armor with you before we take on the Orioles.
Speaking of pregame, exactly, 4:10 first pitch. And you would have thought at the beginning of the season, the Orioles, they're always at the bottom of late. They're in the wild card hunt right now. And today is bobblehead day for one Wander Franco.
Really?
And he's not playing today. 20,000 people at the Trop.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's the story of the season. You know, guys not playing.
13 right now in Iowa. We'll talk about that in the next show. But this place will be crazy downtown. We got a jam-packed show immediately after this, the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. So stay tuned. We got a good show as far as interviews with John Rieger, as always. He played over there in St. Andrews on the old course. We'll talk about what he's seen the first few days. We'll talk about Tiger Woods and his 2 days and his, you know, grinding it out just to play is a testament and courage. And then Gene Elliott, he's been on the show before. Gene Elliott is a worldwide accomplished amateur senior golfer who has played over there. Last year he won the British Senior Championship, amateur. And we'll talk to Gene about his travels over there. Keep in mind, on the tee, Florida, we're getting embedded in the community. We want to give back to the great game of golf. And especially the big old Oscar Garner III, he has an affinity for First Tee, and he's developed a relationship with Chichi Rodriguez in Clearwater down here in South St. Pete. And of course, we had an event at the St. Pete Country Club. And talk a little bit about your commitment to First Tee, and then we'll talk about some of the organizations we've already worked with, and then we'll move into the On the Tee now Coors Light leaderboard, my man.
Yes, as you guys know, I love First Tee. I love those guys. Been out to Chi Chi's, worked with them. They've got a great they've got a great summer program. The guys at the St. Pete chapter, they have a great summer program. They've been putting on some events. We've been able to get out there. Go check those guys out down at Twin Brooks. Perfect little par 3 course.
It's ideal for a hack like me.
Very ideal. They even brought in the net for the driving range for you because they know you can't get past 150. So they made a little bit more space.
Hey, I hit that 13 wood the other day about a buck 51 and a half.
Okay, so 165. We'll give you some room. Okay. But we got the course.
That'd be a personal record. 165. Are you kidding?
We got the Coors Light leaderboard, right?
Exactly.
I love that, the Coors Light leaderboard. So,
I want to welcome them aboard, by the way. A lot of exciting things coming down the pike with Coors Light.
Welcome, Coors Light leaderboard. So, Open Championship, This is the event of the year. We've been waiting on this. Yeah, double Cameron leaderboard right now. Cameron Smith, Cameron Young occupying 1 and 2. Cameron Smith at minus 13, Cameron Young at minus 11. Dustin Johnson tied for second place at minus 11. Rory doing his thing, minus 10 right now. And then we got Victor Hovland coming in at fifth place, minus 10. Fleetwood, Shane Lowry's on a tear right now, minus 4 on the day.
Just fell back one.
Just fell back one. But, hey, he's doing his thing, minus 4 today, sitting at minus 8. Fleetwood as well at minus 5 today, sitting at minus 8 for the total tournament. So it's heating up. It's going to be really good. Scotty Scheffler, keep your eyes on him. He's at minus 8, minus 1 right now through 3. So
world's number one ranked, and he's just getting a feel for link-style course.
He's letting these guys feel comfortable, you know. Scotty might.
I don't think anybody feels comfortable at the old course. I can assure you. Have you seen the potholes over there and the grouse and it's just a unique method of playing compared to the modern game.
You know, it's just a quick story. I did a jazz band tour in the Scotland when I was in high school. And I got a chance to see.
What haven't you done at 23?
I don't know, man. I go broke. I don't know.
Don't try that. I've done that for you.
So when I was out there, I got a chance to actually see the course. And as a caddy, the one thing that I know is like, how do you play out here? There's nothing to look at. It's empty space. It's just you and the golf ball. It sounds nerve-wracking to me. So I know those guys are fighting for their life out there, but I'm going to be excited to see who comes across the finish line. We'll see who it is. So we're
check those out.
We got some great memorabilia here.
You wanted to know how measurements. Try imagine being a caddy. Take a look at those notes. If you were listening to last week's show, we had Lynn the Growler Strickler on, and he gave his. Is that the 1995?
No. Is this 95? Let's see. Yeah, this is 95.
1995 when John Daly won. He gave us his caddy book. It's really cool, and all of his notations and exact yardage are in there, and they get very precise. And the problem over there, and Gene will tell us a lot about it, is the angles. That's why they're taking six-hour rounds of late, and it's been frustrating for the players. But look at the detail, attention to detail, that a world-ranked caddy puts into when they're over in the old course.
I think another thing that people probably don't realize, especially because this is part of the caddy's responsibility, is you can go out and pre-mark these locations, end of the house, you know, with the spire, 113 yards. You can do that, but when we get out here and then we have a 10-mile-an-hour wind, 15-mile-an-hour wind blowing left to right, that changes that. So now we have to adjust those even more, and it becomes harder for the golfer to aim that shot. So, I mean, the caddy's working overtime over there, putting in these long rounds, going out before the guys even touch the course to start marking their caddy books up. It's actually a pretty intensive process.
Okay, so we got those babies directly from there. Look at this gem I got from the old course, St. Andrews. I've been holding on to that since 2012. Friend of the family actually went to Scotland and brought that over for me. So that's another one of my prized possessions.
Got to get over there and play. Got to actually use that ball marker one day.
No. I caddy for you. Rieger leads the way for us. Maybe we get to meet Gene Elliott. We'll make certain that we have a contingency with us that knows what the hell's going on over there. Hey, on the Tee Florida, as I mentioned, is streaming live on RadioSt.Pete.com and also on all of our affiliate stations on the Tantalk family of stations. Our flagship up in Clearwater, and it's loud and proud in that area, is WTAN 106.1 FM, AM 1340, Tampa St. Pete, Clearwater, along with WZHR 104.3 FM and WDCF AM 1350 Zephyr Hills and WZHR 102.3 FM AM 1400. And we got some exciting news coming next week, and I'll share that with you. Right now, let's get a hold of Gene Elliott and we'll talk about his travels across the pond. He played in this event in 2018 and didn't make the cut. Shot a 77, and he shot a 67, but he's kind enough to join us. He's been on before. He's Iowa's foremost golfer, senior and regular. How are you, Gene Elliott?
I'm doing fine, Mike. How you doing?
I know what you're doing right now. Without a shadow of a doubt, you're looking directly at a television screen while you're trying to keep your focus on this interview.
That's right. You know, when else do you want to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning to do anything, let alone, but it's pretty easy to watch the British Open.
Well, several guys that you know that did on the tee for, with me up in Des Moines, Chris Winkle and Judd Gibb, they're the ones that yeah, they got through to me in 2002 and gave me the bug. And I've been getting up at 3 in the morning ever since, and people think I'm absolutely out of my mind, especially the fact that I'm a glorified hack.
Well, especially this year with you know, the home of golf, the 150th anniversary, Tiger, you know, poor guy trying to play, and you know, pretty special British Open week.
Let's talk a little bit about Gene Elliott before, if you hadn't heard our previous interview, now that we've expanded our reach to three counties. Gene Elliott's from Bettendorf, Iowa, God's country, my home state. And again, I get hammered on these statements, Gene. And my favorite team and the only team to root for in America, he played for the University of Iowa Hawkeyes. And he was the medalist in high school. Then you were had a stint on the PGA Pro for some time. And I think I'll let you take it from there, my friend.
Oh, I mean, you know, golf, I've had a kind of a career in golf and in about every level you can think of, you know, tried the pro thing for a while and didn't work out. And that was probably a blessing, and went into the family business kind of quit golf for about 5 years, and then got into amateur golf. And I'm just a competitive guy, so I played a lot of mid-amateur golf, state, nationally, and internationally. Then when I turned 55, the senior thing just has taken off unbelievably. So senior amateur golf's a lot of fun. You can play a tournament every week somewhere in the country if you wanted to, and a big tournament, usually on a pretty good golf course. So, it's been a thrill the last 4 or 5 years.
Well, you're very humble, man. I mean, you won the senior U.S. Open, and then last year, well, both of them last year, and then last year you went over across the pond and won the senior British Open in 2021. Talk about those two experiences, because did you think you had the game as you got a bit older to actually, you know, have that incredible accomplishment?
Well, there were a couple guys I kind of respected ahead of me. Chip Lutz and Paul Simpson had wonderful senior amateur careers, and I thought, boy, you know, looks like they're having fun and playing well and winning British senior amateurs and U.S. senior amateurs, Canadian senior amateurs, and I thought, boy, I'd just sure love to do that and try and do that. And I played several British senior amateurs. I lost in a playoff in 2019. I finished second in 2017. And then this last year up in Gatton, I just happened to win by a shot. So I kind of checked that off my list. I'd already won two Canadian senior amateurs, and you know, the only we call them majors. The only one I hadn't won is the U.S. senior amateur, and I've just kind of been a little snake bit and unlucky. Not to get, I made it to the Sweet 16 in my first three tries, and that's as good as I've done. And just something happened up in Country Club of Detroit last year, and I just started winning matches and kind of kept my head down and didn't kind of look at the lights and the show and just kind of played my game. And, you know, somehow I got all the way to the finals, and I never led the final match until the 18th hole. And, you know, and I never even thought about, you know, if I won this, I'd have won, you know, the British and the U.S. In the same year. Never even crossed my mind until after it happened. And I don't know, I can't explain it, but it was quite a thrill.
I can explain it. Persistent, consistency, good old-fashioned, and I hate to say this, you know, Midwestern work ethic. And, you know, you're a very humble man. Everyone admires you states that, and it's quite obvious. Talk about your trip over to the old course and the challenges that these guys are facing this weekend on the 150th, because it is a challenge, the angles, It's a completely different mode of playing the game. And talk about the adjustments as well and what you experienced in 19.
I went over in it was actually 2018. The British Senior Open was going to be at St. Andrews. And they have a Monday qualifying, and it's usually on four courses. And this was the first British Senior Open I tried to qualify for. And I talked to guys previously years, you know, they say, oh, you shoot 73, 74, sometimes 75, you'll get in. And I thought, okay, well, that doesn't sound too hard. But being that it's at the Open, or St. Andrews, the old course, it was a lot tougher. Everybody wanted to you know, get in the tournament. So I played at St. Andrews Fairmont, and I played in the morning, and shot 73, one over par, and you know, there was a couple ahead of me. There was 150 guys for eight spots. They said normally there's about 14 or 15 spots, but because I think more pros, more of the name pros, were taking up their exemptions, and so there were fewer spots for the qualifiers. And so we only had eight spots. And so I'm like, 73, I don't know if that's going to do it. It was a little breezy in the morning. Well, then, you know, so I literally waited around at the golf course all day. And the sun came out, the wind kind of laid down. I'm like, oh, geez. And I just kept watching a few guys tie me or maybe one go ahead of me. And I'm like, oh, we're starting to check off those eight spots. And I'm not too thrilled about that. And long story short, I ended up in a 8-for-4 playoff at 73. And I'm like, okay, you got a 50-50 chance here. And we played the 10th hole playoff. It's kind of late in the day and it's getting a little dark. It was a really good hole. And I hit a driver hybrid just to the right of the green. And I chipped it down there about 8 or 9 feet, and I knocked that thing in, and I was the only par in my foursome. Two foursomes went out. And I went, okay, all I need is one bogey in that second group, and I'm in. Well, that's all they had was one bogey, and I got to go play the old course, and I remember it vividly. I played it in 1998 when I went over for British Amateur and happened to get lucky and get on and played it. And, you know, it's special, you know, with the setting and all that. But, you know, once you get out on the golf course, you're kind of like, this is kind of, you know, blind tee shot. Can't see where you're going. You know, all these bumps and pot bunkers. And, you know, I didn't know. You know, just first time around, but it was very hallowed with the RNA and everything. So, but this time I've got a real good caddy, and he kind of explains the golf course to me. And the first practice round, here I am, you know, in hallowed grounds with, you know, there's old Tom Morse's golf shop to the right, 18 green, and the RNA and everything. I said, okay, we're just going to treat this like any other golf course. This is just any other tournament. It's not a big deal. Let's just go play golf. And so I hit my shot off of number one, and I'm walking to my ball. And I look over there at 18 green. I look all over this, and I start crying. And I'm just like, oh boy, this is an Iowa kid that's kind of out of town. And it just had a real effect on me. You know, once we got started playing the practice rounds, my caddy was kind of telling me how to play the golf course. And sometimes you don't even look at the fairway. You just hit it down the right rough, or you hit it down the left rough. He kind of showed me how it was designed to play. And you got to steer away from those fairway bunkers. They are just, they're penalty shots. You know, you've seen on TV, these guys are trying to figure out any directions to go, forward, backward, sideways, and it's, you know, you just don't have a shot sometimes. I saw Hovland take an unplayable in the bunker the other day. It once I started to learn it and appreciate it, it's one of the best golf courses in the world. And I just had a blast. I missed the nice shot, but it was one of the highlights of my golf career.
Well, you shot a 69 at least on your way out the door, right? I mean, that's pretty impressive. What's it like hitting over the old hotel? That'd be a little intimidating to me. They'd have to board up those windows.
Oh, that's a scary tee shot, I tell you. It just, you know, because you just don't know exactly where that OB line is over there. I think it was the last second round on Friday there. I got pretty close to that thing. I think I got a fortunate kick. But I did par the road hole both days there. I got it up and down.
You parred 17?
Yep, I parred 17 both times. I was short right one day, and I was kind of short in the front the other day. And you can play from there, you know. If you're short, you can kind of play. But if you try and get it on the green or in that darn bunker or over the green, it's just, you know, some of those greens, like number 11, par 3, is a very skinny green back to front. There's just no room. If you hit it over the green, you're totally dead. And short's not much fun either. So I mean, it just, there's a lot of places where you really have to hit a golf shot. And the 12th hole there, you know, these guys are driving it on the green and stuff. But if you try and hit in the fairway there, 90% of the time it's going to go in one of those bunkers. It just, they say on TV, it kind of just sucks the ball in, and it really does. You got to learn how to play it, and once you kind of learn it and get it and appreciate it, it's fabulous.
You're listening to On the Tee Florida here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. We're having a conversation with Gene Elliott, the 2021 Senior U.S. Open Champion and 2021 Senior British Open Championship, sharing some stories from the old course at St. Andrews. And when you get in that pothole, how many do you, opportunities did you have to get creative when you were playing those two rounds?
You know, I never had it where I didn't have a swing. I think I hit it in maybe one or two fairway bunkers, and I just pitched it out sideways and was lucky enough that I could get out. I shot 77, 69 to miss the cut by a shot. And the first day was just, it was all putting. I had 5-3 putts, and you know, those greens are so huge, some of them, and to get the lag speed down, you know, even when they're not that long, you know, because the green speeds are a little slower, but that first day I just could not get the speed. I'd leave it 10 feet short and knock it 10 feet by, and I remember the 18th green, I had it about 30 feet. I putted it down to about 4 feet, and it power lipped back at me, and I went, you know what, I got a feeling that shot right there is going to cost me. I don't know how I felt that, but I just, and then the next day, we had some fog delays and stuff. It was the first tee time, 7 a.m. Friday morning, and we had a 2-hour fog delay we were on the third tee, but I had it 5 under, through 11, and I'm right back in the tournament. I'm even par for the tournament, you know. But once you turn back and you start coming back towards the clubhouse, it's usually back into the wind. You got OB right, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. You got OB right coming in, and they're playing back into the wind. So it plays much tougher usually coming back to the clubhouse, and I knew that, and I made two bogeys coming in and shot 69, and then again, kind of luck of the draw, the wind laid down. It got to be about 80 degrees in the afternoon, and the scores went lower. We thought I had made the cut, no problem, when I got done, and I was at 2 over, and it ended up being 1 over, so disappointed, but still a fantastic week.
You know, you were talking about the greens, and I have a friend down here. He comes on the show quite often. Lynn, they call him the Growler Strickler. He's retired. He's a retired caddy, and he's ranked number 36 inside the 36 in the world at one time. He was on last week, and he left with me. It's pretty cool. His 124th Open Championship caddy book with his yardages. And I can't remember whose bag he was on. Might have been Curtis Strange. Oh, no. He was on Greg Norman's bag. What am I talking about? And yeah. At 22.
Tony Navarro?
I'm sorry?
Who's the caddy?
Lynn Strickler. Lynn the Growler Strickler.
Oh. He
was on Ben Crenshaw's for a bag for a while. He was on Freddie Couples, Curtis Strange, as I mentioned. Just a unique guy, a lot of fun. And but he left this, and this is one Daly won. And I'm looking at some of his notes, and this is on number two. He writes a little note, just left of TV tower behind green on where you want to put your approach. I mean, it's unbelievable the precision that these caddies have to have. That's 22,000, is it yards or feet of yards, I'm sure, of greens. The average course is 3,300.
Right, feet.
Yeah, feet.
But there was a stat on TV that said, Pebble Beach has very small greens. If you took a certain 13 greens at Pebble Beach, you could put them inside, I don't remember, one of the double greens at St. Andrews. 13 of Pebble Beach's greens.
I remember that,
two
yeah.
Two holes, that's a double green at St. Andrews. So pretty crazy. And I heard players saying, I've never made so many notes in a yardage book in my life, you know. And they've got the pins stuck pretty tough, it looks like. But still, they're shooting great scores It's going to be an exciting finish.
Yes, it is, my friend. When are you getting back down to Florida?
Oh, probably October.
All right. Well, you're Venice?
We're in Juneau Beach, right near Seminole, Jupiter area, Palm Beach Gardens.
Gotcha. Why don't you come up here and play? I'm getting enough relationships here. We can get you on. You could get on yourself, but get you on a nice track and. Go to the 19th hole and share some Hawkeye stories and maybe get you up here to Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill, our 19th hole up here across from Tropicana Field.
Love to do that. We're big Rory fans because his dad lives about four doors down from us in Juneau Beach there. So
Rory McIlroy, that's kind of my guy. I love the way that he's defended the PGA of America and Tiger took a little pressure off him by Tiger stepping up to the podium and expressing his views on this bizarre world that we're in right now in the world of golf. And I became a fan of Rory's, and I'm sure his dad is a superb guy, right?
Yeah, his dad is one of the most wonderful people you ever want to meet. So I understand why Rory turned out so great because of his dad and mom, too. But wonderful people,
All right, Gene Elliott, I appreciate you taking time. Get yourself another cup of coffee, settle in, and watch the rest of the 150th today and tomorrow. And we'll probably give you a call between now and then, get your perspective on several other. And how cool is that to have Mike McCoy, another senior from the state of Iowa, successful, and our own Zach Johnson, the Ryder Cup captain. Who says that golf doesn't exist up there in the northern tundra?
Well, Zach, the Ryder Cup captain, and Mike, the Walker Cup captain, both from Iowa, we've got five guys from Iowa that are going to play in the U.S. Senior Amateur. Four of them are exempt, and we just had the qualifier here, and another Iowan got in. So, I mean, there's only 156 in the field, and five are from Iowa. That's pretty strong. So
yeah. you wouldn't think that we're known for our links up there, but certainly are, and I'm proud to be from there. All right, my friend, you have a great weekend. Thanks for coming on.
All right, Mike. You bet. Anytime.
All right. Gene Elliott, and how about that for a quick? Hey, I was looking at this. If you look at the meticulous job that Lynn Strickler does, of course, when you're ranked in the top in the world, and you get on bags Ben Crenshaw, but my God, attention to detail. I just started looking at that today.
Your livelihood is on the line there. I mean,
22,000 feet of greens.
No, that's ridiculous. I'm seeing some of these putts that go three different ways. How do you expect me to read that? What do you? That's why I'm not on the tour, I guess, right? I guess that's like.
Well, how about being a caddy? My God.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I can't advise a golfer on what to do on one of those greens. First off, the putt's a mile long. It's going to go four different ways, uphill, downhill. Sounds like my dad talking about walking to school back in the day.
Yeah, and 6 feet of snow.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, well, I feel your dad's pain. I mean, when men were men, and you guys got soft on us.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, spare me, please.
All right. Well, let's go to John Rieger. I know what John Rieger, I know what all these guys I'm calling today are doing. They got a cup of coffee. Maybe they got a little, it's getting close to noon. They might have a little Irish coffee going, and they're watching the British Open, the 150th edition, and he's John Rieger each and every week. What's going on, my man?
Hey, it's just a pleasure to be on the show today. You know, you have to call it the Open Championship now. If you call it the British Open, it kind of shows that you're just one of those sportscaster guys, not a golf sportscaster. Let's get it together here, Mike.
I've been doing it both ways all week, and I keep catching myself. I said, I know Rieger or some of my buddies up and I were going to chew my ass, which they did on an annual basis anyway.
Well, you know, I really enjoyed listening to Gene Elliott's interview you just had on there. You know, what a remarkable individual. You know, I always like to listen in before I come on the air to your broadcast. And, you know, there aren't many people, a handful of people who've won an R&A championship and a USGA championship in the same year, him winning the U.S. Senior Amateur and then him winning the British Senior Amateur. That's spectacular. I mean, that's just, you know, there's just a small handful of people. And most of these people are pretty famous, like Bobby Jones and Ben Hogan, Tom Watson, Tiger Woods. You know, those individuals have won, you know, championships with both organizations on both sides of the pond. So, you know, Gene is a wonderful golfer, a great competitor. You know, and it's really great to see somebody at 59 years old winning these things too. Because, you know, normally, you know, when you're just past 50, I think it's 55 is the age limit for both organizations as a senior. But when you get to, you know, when you're, it's a big difference between 59 and 55 when it comes to senior golf. And what a wonderful man. He lives in a great part of the world. And he's from Iowa, so you got to love that.
Yeah. You know, people, I got to keep remembering that people aren't going to be tuning in if I keep my loud and proud Hawkeye passion going. And so you got to get me more Florida guys. I mean, I've got the key guy right now I'm talking to. So let's talk about the last two nights of insomnia, getting up in the middle of the night, and your perspective of what's taking place on the old course, a course that you have played.
Well, there's three storylines this week that's a takeaway so far for the tournament. Obviously, the most telling storyline will come tomorrow with the final round. But number one, and I watched it all day yesterday, and I watched Tiger play yesterday as much as I could, never took my eyes off the TV set. It was a very touching, emotional walk up the 18th hole for Tiger, and I don't think he quite expected that. Everybody, Tiger knows that everybody likes Tiger, you know, but this crowd up there, this is the birthplace of golf. Okay, these are the real salt of the earth galleries who love the game of golf, appreciate the traditions. This is where golf was born to begin with. And they love Tiger. And Tiger felt the love yesterday. That's why he got a little emotional at the end. Yeah, we talked on the show previously for our listeners of what would happen. Would he come up to the bridge there and wave his hat, take a picture, and call today? Well, somewhere in between here. I don't think he's ever coming back to St. Andrews as a competitor, because it's probably going to be another 8 or 10 years before they host the Open Championship there. They haven't announced that on the rotation of golf courses, but he kind of knows that this was it. You know, he kind of knows that he can barely play right now. And when I say barely play, his D game is better than everybody's A game, but he can just barely play. He can barely get around. You can see it. He talked about the team of people that took his trainer and his doctor and his support crew to get him ready to be able to even come and play this tournament. I doubt that you'll see much of him in tournaments in the future, but especially with the Open Championship here at St. Andrews. So that the biggest takeaway I saw, though, was I think Tiger was overwhelmed with emotion when he realized that, yeah, there's a difference between people loving you as a golfer because you're popular and you're the greatest of all time or you do wonderful things. No, they actually from the heart were expressing love for him, and I think he heard that and he felt it, and that's why he was so emotional. And I do like his style walking over the bridge. Instead of stopping, race ahead, keep on going. We'll see what happens. On a side note, earlier in the week he had a picture taken on the bridge on 18 with Jack Nicklaus. And you look down, if you look at that picture closely, Tiger's stepping on Jack's toes. You know, they have to stand real close together, and Tiger's standing on Jack's right foot.
Only he would catch that attention to detail.
Yeah, so I don't know what that means, but that was hilarious. Okay, let's talk about the second takeaway. The second takeaway is about Jack Nicklaus becoming an honorary citizen of St. Andrews, only the third American to do this. You think about this. Well, Bobby Jones was one of them, okay? All right, the other one was Ben Franklin. So they don't pass this honor out like they do the Queen of England making everybody a sir. You know, if you have a pop record and goes gold, you're a sir. You know, you're knighted in England. But in Scotland, this is a huge honor. And it was something that right now most people don't really understand the significance of that. But to recognize Jack Nicklaus as an honorary citizen of St. Andrews, you know, the big parade down the town, what a special week it was for the 150th anniversary of the Open Championship. And for our listeners, you know, the Open Championship wasn't first contested at St. Andrews. It was up the road at Prestwick. So it wasn't until 1873 until they started hosting the Open Championship at the old course at St. Andrews. So a little tidbit there. And the first Open Championship was 312-hole rounds of golf. So everybody talks about, well, you got to have a 72-hole tournament to make it a real tournament. At least they only had 12 holes. They played 3 days, 312-hole rounds of golf. That's how they determined who the champion was. Now, there's another storyline right here, and it has nothing to do with the players, but it has everything to do with the golf course. And if you notice, the golf course is hard and it's dry. One of the players was talking this week about how the fairways were faster than the greens. You know, the greens, the stip meters on the greens aren't as fast as you think. You know, when you play a PGA Tour event here in the United States, you know, any major, any typical tour event, those greens are like 12 or 13 on the stip meter. And for our listeners out there, what that means, there's a guy named Henry J. Stimp. Not sure what year he invented this, but he had this stick. It's so many inches long, and it's got a notch in it. And what you do is you put a ball in it, and you raise it up slowly off the green, and the ball rolls off. And you try to do it on a flat area from four different directions, get an average, and how many feet and inches that ball rolls is the speed of the green. Well, the speed of a green at the PGA Tour is like 12 or 13. That's fast. That's like putting on your kitchen table. It's fast. Extremely fast, but they can't have the greens that fast there because you saw all the undulations. You can even see it on television normally, which does not give a golf course justice as far as the undulation and slopes of a green, but there you can even see it on television. So if the greens got too fast there, it'd be unplayable. So the stip meter right now this week is about 9-ish, okay? So it's not as fast as you think, especially these tour pros hitting the 100-foot putts. I remember you were talking earlier today on the broadcast about, you know, how many square feet of greens that that the old golf course has compared to Pebble Beach. Well, yeah, you're right. These things are huge. And so this is something that a lot of the tour pros aren't familiar with, but the competitors. So the greens are a little slower, but the fairways are definitely 12 and 13 on the stint meter. And if you look at the old course, it all has to do with the weather. So that's my third takeaway this week. Is the weather there has been pretty mild. I mean, they've had a touch of rain and, you know, a little bit of wind. It hasn't been very much. In fact, today the wind's basically, they forecast 8 to 12 miles an hour, gusts of 15 to 20 miles an hour. Well, you know, in Florida, we'd be like, wow, that's a windy day. But over there, that's an average day. And I can tell you, I've had the great opportunity to play in on that golf course. I played in these tournaments in the past. They used to call them the International Four Ball, which are pro-am tournaments where you would represent different clubs from the United States and we'd all gather over in Scotland and we'd play Carnoustie and we would go play the old course of St. Andrews. We would play Glen Eagles. We would play a variety of other golf courses on the rotation. So I remember playing a practice round at the old golf course, the old course, obviously, St. Andrews, and it was a very mild day. This was usually late September. And just like you see the pros today, you're hitting like a mid-iron off the tee because you don't want to go in that berm that runs down the right side in front of the green, and obviously it's a Swillingham berm that runs across 18 fairway where the bridge is. You just don't want to hit it in there. And you've got like 200 yards of fairway you could possibly put your ball in. So normally you hit a mid-iron, and it leaves you a nice little short iron into the green depending on the weather conditions. In fact, these pros, they were laying back a little bit too. They, instead of having challenging the berm, they're just trying to hit, they're trying to get it to about 130, 40 yards away. Of course, for tour pros, that's a wedge, not like eight irons for us mere mortals. So I remember the practice round, and you're not allowed to take a practice swing on that tee. Now, during the Open Championship, yeah, they're allowed to take a practice swing, but we played our practice round. There's the starter there. You were not allowed to practice swing. So you have to hit it cold. You stand up there. So the first day, practice round, I hit my 5-iron, hit a little wedge on there. It was a warm, windless day. Man, golf course played pretty easy. And I don't mean to discredit the golf course, but it wasn't as difficult. Well, the next day, when the tournament flags went up, it was 45 degrees. The wind's blowing like 40 miles an hour. We're really cold. I hit driver off the first tee and had to determine if I need to lay up with a fairway wood or go for it over the berm. The weather makes that golf course. And so far, the weather's been very mild. And they're predicting tomorrow the same thing. They're predicting, temperatures high 70s, just beautiful weather, light winds in the morning, and then up to 15 to 20 mile an hour gusts in the afternoon. So I think the weather's the big story. It's going to allow these guys to go really low and shoot really low scores. So it should be a very interesting day tomorrow.
You're listening to On the Tee Florida with John Rieger, of course, the PGA Tour of America teaching professional and our consummate pro. I'm going to throw it over to the Big O, our celebrity caddy, with the update on the leaderboard, and then I've got some more questions for you, John.
Update on the Coors Light leaderboard. Let's keep it, we got bills to pay.
Exactly, buddy. Coors Light.
So we got Cameron Smith right now holding on his lead, $14 million on the line. Stumbled out the gate a little bit. He's on the third hole, cart gate hole, apparently. Sitting at minus 12, plus one on the day. Cameron Young, even right now through the second hole, minus 11. Tied with Victor Hovland at minus one. Total at minus 11. And then Rory still sitting at minus 10. He's even through three holes. And then Dustin Johnson tied at fourth place as well at minus 10, minus one through four holes.
Thank you very much. And that's our Coors Light leaderboard. We'll be doing that each and every week with the PGA, LPGA, any of the tournaments that are taking place across America and the great state of Florida. Now back to John Rieger, and I gotta say something. I hate to admit it, but I've been sitting at home rooting against guys like DJ, any of these LIV guys. I do not want to see success, John Rieger.
Well, I feel a lot differently, obviously, because again, I've always told you this whole deal's about money, and it's about hypocrisy. The President of the United States yesterday was in Saudi Arabia. Okay. The United States.
Oh, my God, that was unbelievable.
That's what happens. But also, Live Golf, it's interesting because it's Saudi Arabia, and it's Live Golf, it's kind of made, it kind of tainted a little bit some of the celebration there. Phil didn't go to the dinner. Greg Norman wasn't invited. They give the guys the worst tee times. They're not even showing them on TV. And yet I'm watching the USA broadcast, okay? And that's NBC Sports. And so NBC Sports is a big sponsor, obviously, because of a big host of PGA Tour golf, PGA Tour properties. And so I'm watching the commercials. And here's the commercial for all the Trump's golf courses over in Scotland. Well, the R&A moved from Turnberry, moved them out of the open rotation because it's Donald Trump. All right? You've got different advertisers doing different things with golf in China. And it's just all about money. It's all hypocritical. It's a golf tour. They want to pay these guys a lot of money. Well, unfortunately, the five families are going after it, but there's so much hypocrisy. You can't just put it into a neat little container and say, well, we're going to hold our nose up and we hope these guys play bad. Because guess what? It's golf. It's professional golf. It is about the money. And the sponsors, nobody has their hands clean in anything in this world when it comes to corporate sponsorship and professional sports. I don't want to see it ruin people's perception of golfers and the tour. And so, yeah, I feel differently about it. I'm not as caught up in the controversy. In fact, I think most of the controversy is caused because the golf media out there keeps drumming it up, keeps trying to embarrass the players, tries to make them feel bad for playing for all that money. And I guess, again, you know, it ruins everything when you start talking about trying to root against golfers because they're playing for a golf tour right now. My more focus is on the history of the game and more on the wonderful time to celebrate the 150 Open Championship. And there's always going to be sideshow. There's always going to be politics. And may the best man win out there.
Hey, John, I know you said that a lot of this controversy is being stirred up in the media, and I agree. But do you feel as if maybe the PGA Tour faithfuls and some of these LIV guys might even have some internal things going on the course right now? Maybe some head-to-head stuff. Maybe it's kind of fueling some of the competition there. Maybe want to prove that the PGA Tour is still the best and that you guys were wrong for going out that way.
Well, I know that Rory, you know, he's on the PGA Tour policy board now, so he's heavily embedded with the PGA Tour. Okay, and Tiger obviously is too. He's not going to go. He turned down the LIV Golf Tour. You know, and he knows. Tiger's a big historian of the game. He knows his place in the game. I'm not so sure if you've got players out there that feel, in particular, that they're defending the PGA Tour or they're going to play better because of the PGA Tour. Now, Taylor Gooch, who plays on the LIV Tour, you know, he made a comment at the press conference 2 days ago that he felt he was playing better because the LIV Golf Tour players are sticking together because they kind of feel pressured and persecuted for, you know, jumping ship and going over there to play for a lot of money. So guess what? They jumped on Justin yesterday at the press conference after the round to try to get him to verify that. And Dustin Johnson, in his own way, says, I don't know anything about that. I'm just playing a game here. I'm just trying to win the Open Championship. And that's probably the best answer he could have given, you know. And again, LIV is not the reason why we're celebrating the game of golf and the 150th anniversary of the Open Championship. It's a sideshow. 3 years from now, will they be? We don't know. There'll be the next great controversy coming. But I do want to point out, it really is amazing how the PGA Tour found $120 million more to play golf for next year, you know, for the top 50 players out there, you know, immediately starting in 2023. Where'd all that money come from all of a sudden?
Let's move to the leaderboard right now and John Rieger's opinion on who do you see hoisting the cup on tomorrow, actually? Time has flown by, and I can't wait to get caught up on my sleep on Monday.
Well, you know, you just look at the leaderboard right now. You know, you've got to, if Cam Smith gets out there today, and especially if Cam Smith seems to be, he would be the favorite. If he can maintain a good round of golf today, if he could go 2-3 under par at least, it's going to be hard to catch him. You know, I mean, there's some players out there, and, you know, that might finish today 8, 9, 10 under, but if Cam's like, gets to 15 or 16 under, you know, those people have to go really low bar. Pins aren't going to be as easy. Greens will be a little bit faster because it'll be drier conditions. So whoever front first today who has experience are the ones. Now, Cam Young, he doesn't have quite the championship experience yet that Cam Smith has. You know, Cameron Smith won the Players' Championship this year. He's from Australia. And he's got the receipts. He got the ability to perform and be the front runner for the weekend. Yeah, but there is a chance of somebody coming from way behind, but it would have to take the leader, you know, shooting an even par round, even one over par and faltering, and somebody shooting 7 or 8 under par to come back. And the other thing is, I think favorite there, the local favorite, has got to be Roy McIlroy. His picture's posted everywhere around the whole place, and he's just, you know, everybody's rooting for Roy, and he's playing well. So, yes, it's going to be Rory, it's going to be Cam, or it might be somebody just coming from behind that's going to post a low number tomorrow that you weren't thinking about.
All right, my friend, we'll freshen that Irish coffee and kick your feet back up. Watch the rest of this, then get out to the beach, your spot with a bucket of Coronas, living the life with you better throw in a couple Coors Light there for me now, too, would you please?
Yeah, in fact, Coors Light and the Open Championship, what a great combination.
You're the man. That's a promo. That's a take, John Rieger. I'll talk to you this week, my man.
Take care, everybody.
The great John Rieger, the John Rieger Report. And, yeah, you want to talk about a guy that's a marketing guru, genius. He's giving me some advice, and we're advancing. We'll get there. Hey, speaking of that, I better take care of a little business, and then we'll wind the show down. Let's talk work ethic, honesty, and personal service in the wide world of real estate. It's Tampa Bay, my friend, Barb with Tampa Bay. Barb Grossenheiner. She'll be here in the next show to talk about a couple properties that she's got up in the market right now. She's with First Class Real Estate and Gulf to Bay. She brings her Midwest work ethic. She grew up 25 miles from my hometown. Integrity, commitment to every client, combined with her knowledge, growing up in a family of home construction for decades. Her dad and her brothers. And, you know, she's been in the area for about 7-8 years now, and she just has fit in, like anybody that's migrated down here, except for me. No, I still haven't fit in. People don't know why I'm here. Barb's energy and bubbly personality take the stress out of the challenge of home buying. I assure you, I've recommended her to my friends, got a couple of nice leads for her. This week, look forward to spreading her professional service to all of Tampa Bay. And she'll be down here from, probably about 12:30 to 2. Stop by and say hi to her. It's Barb with Tampa Bay today. Barb with Tampa Bay at gmail.com or call her at 712-540-3704. That's Barb with Tampa Bay. Give her a call today. 712-540-3704. This show has flown by there, big O.
Yeah, I got an update for the CoreSite leaderboard if you want it.
I want as many of those you can give me, because people are driving around in their cars, they're streaming us, and they're not nerds. They've been in there, sitting there in their boxers and a cup of coffee since 3 a.m., not moving.
I guess we're the nerds, right? Is that us?
Hey, at least we're out here, down here at Ferg's, the 19th Old Clubhouse Studios, and we get to see the people go by. We only got 94 televisions to get caught up on.
Holding down the golf community right here. Victor Hovland just moved into a tie for first place. Cameron Smith just jumped Cameron Young. Now they're both at minus 12 through the fourth hole. Victor Hovland is minus 2 on the day, so got a little pressure on first place right now. $14 million on the line.
Victor Hovland is kind of like the quietest assassin. Very little emotion. Just gets the job done. And as I look at that leaderboard, I see, and this is how I roll. Sorry, guys. I'm not international yet. I see 1, 2, 3, 4 U.S. flags in the top 10.
Five. Spieth minus tied for ninth place.
Oh, he just moved up. Now I'm very happy. However, if Rory McIlroy was to pull this out, I'd be happy.
I feel like Rory, he's fought demons over the years. I really want him.
He's the favorite. He's got one of these cups already.
I want to see him win, though.
He's the favorite, and I look forward to that. All right, what do you got on the agenda the rest of the day, my favorite caddy, and all at Tampa Bay?
Well, I'm going to plug my employer, Raymond James. If you want to do life planned well, retirement planning, education planning, come holler at Raymond James. I'll be studying for my certified financial planner's exam in November, so I'm going to get out of here, and I'm going to be a nerd, not on golf, but in finance.
Well, just turn it on and hit the mute button.
Oh, of course. I'll have it playing on the little Google Home radio.
All right, we got exciting news. How do people find us? All during the week, I'm going to keep breaking news on our development of our footprint in the Tampa Bay area.
Well, you can stream us on RadioSaintPete.com, but you can also find us on Instagram at TSTP.sports. That's at TSTP.sports. You can also find us on Facebook at Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection.
Thanks for listening. I'm the T. Florida on this 150th British Open weekend. God bless you.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.